And now, for the show reflecting on classic radio, Hollywood 360, with your host, Carl Amari.
Who's that strange-looking man, Bungie?
That's Carl.
I met him at the laundry, man.
Sam Slade Detective Agency.
Sam, sweetheart.
I don't know what to do, Rabbi. Every night he listens to the radio. I can't keep him away. The Lone Ranger, the Shadow, the Master Benger.
This is not good. It tends to induce bad values, false dreams, lazy habits.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
Hello, everyone. I'm Carl Amari, and this is Hollywood 360, the radio show that presents the best in classic radio. This hour on Hollywood 360, Lawson Zerbe stars as star athlete and amateur detective Frank Merriwell on The Adventures of Frank Merriwell from 1947. Then we'll visit Riverdale as Bob Hastings stars as Archie Andrews from 1946. With me to help present these radio classics is my executive producer, Mike Costello. What's up, Mike?
I'm good, Carl. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Are you ready for a good adventure on Frank Merriwell?
Absolutely.
Now, we haven't played one of these in a while, so
right.
I think it'll be a lot of fun to tune this in. This was an adventure show. Now, the character, which was created by Gilbert Patton under the pseudonym Bert L. Standish, was first seen in dime novels way back in 1896. And eventually, there was a comic book on the character. It was so popular that it made the transition to radio in 1934. And then it went to films in 1936. Now, Merriwell was a Yale College athlete who, in his spare time, solved mysteries and righted wrongs. Donald Briggs originated the role on radio, but eventually Lawson Zerbe made the role his own. The radio series lasted until 1949, but it did not make a transition to television. All right, it's time now for The Adventures of Frank Merriwell. This is from December 13th, 1947. It's called The Harris Heirlooms. It stars Lawson Zerbe. Here's part one of The Adventures of Frank Merriwell.
Who was that fellow who hit you?
I don't know. I never saw him before. I was just walking along and he jostled me. And the first thing I knew, he hit me and knocked me down.
Oh, that dirty rat. We should have kept after him, Frank.
I'm afraid it's too late now. Besides, it's more important to look after Dan. Can you stand up, Dan? We'll help you.
I think so. Oh, it's just my arm.
We're going to take you to the infirmary right now. You need a doctor.
NBC presents The Adventures of Frank Merriwell. Exciting past, a romantic past. The era of the horse and carriage, gaslit streets, and free-for-all football games. The era of one of the most beloved figures in American fiction, Frank Merriwell. Merriwell is loved as much today as ever he was. And so the National Broadcasting Company brings him to radio in a brand new series of stories based on the famous books written by Gilbert Patton under the pen name Bert L. Standish. Today, The Harris Heirlooms. It's a cold December evening in New Haven, and a thin blanket of newly fallen snow covers the campus. As our story opens, Frank and Bart, returning from basketball practice, keep a date with Inza Burridge at the traditional Yale fence.
Oh, isn't that Inza waiting, Frank?
Hello there.
Hello, Inza. I hope we haven't kept you out here in the cold for long. We made it as fast as we could.
No, I just got here. What's this all about, Frank? All you said in your message was to meet you at the fence.
Well, let's go along the walk a bit. We'll freeze standing here.
Okay.
Yes, Enzo, we were afraid we wouldn't get a chance to see you later on tonight.
That's right. We got a lot of packing to do.
Packing? Oh, that means the basketball trip is definite.
Yes, they told us today at the beginning of practice. Dan Griswold has just completed all the arrangement. He's a student manager, you know. We leave on a regular tour of New England early tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy week, too. We play Springfield, Williams, Holy Cross, MIT, and then finish up the week with the University of Connecticut.
Five games? That means you'll be gone all week.
Just about. The game with Connecticut is next Friday night.
What about Christmas vacation? It starts Friday, doesn't it?
Oh, that's what we wanted to tell you, Inza.
Mm-hmm.
Since you and your Aunt Belle are coming up to Boston to spend the holidays with us, we thought maybe you could meet us at Storrs for the last game. Then we could all go up to Boston together.
Of course. It's a wonderful idea.
Good. Then we'll get Dan to arrange for your tickets.
Hey, Frank. Speaking of Dan Griswold, there he is over there arguing with that man.
So I see. It's almost like a fight.
Frank, you'd better stop them.
Wait. They are fighting. Oh. He knocked Dan down. Come on, Bart.
He sees us, Frank. He's running away.
Oh. Hold it, Bart. Dan's hurt.
Frank, what happened?
I don't know yet. What's wrong, Dan?
My arm. I fell on it and twisted it under me.
You better be careful, Frank. It might be broken.
Yes, I know. Roll over this way, Dan.
Oh, all right. Oh. Oh, there. I can't lift it, though.
Who was that fellow who hit you?
I don't know. I never saw him before. I was just walking along, and he jostled me. And then the first thing I knew, he hit me and knocked me down.
The dirty rat. We should have kept after him, Frank.
I'm afraid it's too late now. Besides, it's more important to look after Dan. Can you stand up, Dan? We'll help you here.
I think so. Oh, it's just my arm.
We're going to take you to the infirmary right now. You need a doctor. Enza, you shouldn't have waited out here in the cold. I thought you went home.
No, I wanted to find out about Dan. Was it really a break?
Yes, I'm afraid so. But he'll be all right in a day or two.
Now he won't be able to make the trip with the team, will he?
No, I'm afraid not.
What will you do for a manager?
Well, I sent Bart to get Johnny Wilson. He's the assistant manager. Of course, he's only a sophomore, but I think he can handle everything.
Have you found out who that other man was?
No, there doesn't seem to be any explanation for that. Dan swears he never saw the man before in his life. I can't figure it out.
Of course, if Dan were a player, you might think someone was trying to keep him out of the games, but the team manager...
I don't know. Maybe it was an attempted holdup. I guess we'll never find out for sure. Oh, here are Bart and Johnny.
Well, I finally located him, Frank. Inza, you know Johnny, don't you?
Yes, hello, Johnny.
Hello, Inza. Gosh, Frank, is that true about Dan?
I'm afraid so, Johnny. It looks like you're elected to make the trip tomorrow.
Oh, that's what Bart said. Gosh, I hope I can handle the job.
Don't you worry about that. You can room with us on the trip, and we'll help you every way we can.
Golly, I'm sorry this had to happen to poor Dan. I certainly appreciate this chance.
Yeah, you better get your things together, Johnny. We leave early in the morning, you know.
Yeah, and I've got a million things to do before then. I better go down right now and send a telegram to my father. I'll be a day later getting home to Denver for the holidays.
We haven't done our packing yet either, Frank.
I know it.
For you two, go right ahead. I can walk home. It's only a block or two.
Oh, that's all right, Enzo. We'll have time to see you home.
No, I don't want to do anything to delay the trip. Only there's just one thing.
Yes, what's that?
When I meet you up at Storrs for the Connecticut game Friday, just make sure you're still undefeated.
Pulling into Williamstown, Johnny. Better get the squads gear together.
It's all set, Frank. By the way, you sure played a great game against Springfield.
Well, thanks, Johnny, but we've got to play a lot better than that to beat Williams tonight.
Can I quote that to the papers when we get in? They'll want a story, you know.
I don't see why not. But you better add that Yale intends to win the game just the same.
Time out, Yale!
All right, gang, gather around.
Gosh, Frank, this Holy Cross team is tough.
I know, we're trailing by 4 points and there isn't much time left.
Their guards are stopping our layup shots cold. I'm afraid we'll have to change our attack.
That's just what we're going to do. Frank, you and I will continue driving in for the layups. Pearson and Rattleton will lay back. But here's the point. Don't work the ball in, Harry. You and Pearson try set shots and Bart and I will cover the rebounds. You got it?
I hope it works, Frank.
It's got to work if we're going to win. Now, come on, let's get moving.
Did you see the morning paper, Aunt Belle? Yale beat Holy Cross 34-30. That's 4 straight for them. I can hardly wait to see that Connecticut game tomorrow.
I'm certainly glad you got up here in time for lunch, Enza.
And so am I. Well, what time is the game?
Oh, 2 o'clock, isn't it, Frank?
Yeah, that's right. That should give us plenty of time to catch the 6 o'clock train for Boston.
That's fine. Oh, do you have the tickets, Frank?
Johnny Wilson has it. Oh, and here he comes toward the table. Here we are, Johnny.
Oh, hello, fellas.
Well, Linda, how's everything back in New Haven?
Just fine, Johnny. I saw Dan Griswold before I left, and he told me to congratulate you on the splendid job you're doing with the team.
Well, thanks, but how is Dan?
Well, much better. His arm is healing nicely.
Come on, Johnny. Sit down and have something with us.
Well, it'll have to be fast. I've got to be over at the gymnasium before 1 o'clock.
There you are, Inza. See what a conscientious manager we have?
Pardon me, gentlemen.
Yes? What is it? Which one of you is John H. Wilson?
Why, that's my name. Why? Is there something wrong?
Well, my name is Forbes. I'm a private investigator.
Investigator?
I have a private matter to discuss. Is there some place we can talk?
Oh, I haven't much time. Can't you talk right here? These people are friends of mine. Sit down, Mr. Forbes.
Very well, if you like. I'll explain as quickly as possible. For 2 years now, I've been retained by a lady here in Stores to locate her nephew. I saw your name on the register, and I thought I'd ask if your middle name happens to be Henry.
Why, yes, it does. John Henry Wilson. But it's not exactly an uncommon name.
You don't have to tell me that, son. In the past 2 years, I've tracked down hundreds of John Henry Wilsons.
Excuse me, gentlemen, will you order now?
Well, nothing for me.
A glass of milk, that's all, I think.
Thank you.
But who is this lady you work for, Mr. Forbes, and why is she searching for a nephew? Well, her name is Julia Harris. The nephew was the son of her dead sister, whose maiden name was Lou Harris.
Harris? Why, that was my mother's maiden name, all right. Louise Harris.
Wonderful. Your father's name?
The same as mine, John Henry Wilson. But what's this all about, Mr. Forbes?
Better and better. Mr. Wilson, if you're really the man I'm looking for, there's a fortune waiting for you here in Stores.
Fortune?
That's right, son. And well, just a minute, sir. Before you discuss any fortunes, hadn't you better make sure you have the right man?
Don't worry, son. I intend to check carefully. Look, here are the facts. The man I'm looking for is 19 years old.
That's right, I am.
Good. Now, he was born in one of the far western states, probably California or, say, Nevada.
California.
Good. His mother died in San Francisco while he was still an infant, and his father took him to some other part of the country.
Why, yes, that's right, to Denver.
Right, now, let me finish. The boy I'm looking for probably knows very little about his mother's family, since they disapproved of her marriage.
Well, I'm not sure about that. My father never talked about it.
Just so. Now, later on, when Julia Harris tried to get in touch with you, her letters all returned marked address unknown.
Here's your milk, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, wait a minute. What brought about this change of heart on the part of your client? Why did she wait so long to get in touch with her nephew?
Because of old Mr. Harris, her father. When he died 2 years ago, Miss Julia decided to find her only living relative. Well, this young man isn't the first John Henry Wilson I've found in the past 2 years. I've tracked down hundreds of them, all over the country. But this time, all the facts seem to check.
Yes, I guess Mr. Forbes is right, Frank.
Well, you do seem to answer the description, Johnny. Is all that about the family true as far as you know?
I think so. Of course, as Mr. Forbes said, I never knew much about my mother's people. Dad remarried when I was only 3.
But your father would know. You can check with him when you get home for the holidays.
Of course you can, my boy. But I don't mind saying, I think you're the one we're looking for. I'm sure Miss Julia will verify that.
Johnny, this is wonderful. It's just like a story. Think of coming into a fortune you never knew you had.
Oh, it's all pretty confusing. I hardly know what to think.
Well, Johnny, first of all, I'd like you to drive out to the Harris place with me right away. I want you to meet Miss Julia.
Oh, I'm afraid I can't go right now. The game is at 2 and I have
Oh, that's all right, Johnny. There isn't much for you to do now. Bart and I'll cover for you.
Well, sure, Johnny. This is more important.
Well, if you're sure, it's all right.
Of course it is. You go right ahead with Mr. Forbes. Only let us know what happens.
Don't worry. As soon as I see Miss Julia, I'll come right over to the gym.
Fine, and I hope you have wonderful news for us. Good luck, Johnny.
But, Miss Julia, these are family heirlooms. Hadn't you better keep them until you're positive that I am your nephew?
Nonsense, Johnny. I am positive. You're Lou's son, all right. You have the Harris eyes. Besides, I want you to take these things home with you for the holidays.
Pardon me, Miss Julia, but did you say there was a family resemblance between this boy and your sister?
Oh, yes, Mr. Forbes, a very marked resemblance. Now, take your gifts, Johnny, and go on to your basketball game.
Oh, thank you very much, ma'am, but honestly, I'd rather...
Now, I told you I was quite satisfied. As for the money that's coming to you, we'll make arrangements after the holidays. Now, run along to the game.
Well, if you insist, I take these things with me.
I do indeed. My goodness, you certainly are a typical heiress.
Very well, ma'am. I'll see you after the holidays, then. Thank you again.
Not at all. Nettie will let you out. Oh, my, what a nice boy.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Forbes, you are a good detective. You found my nephew for me.
Well, then you're satisfied, as I am.
Completely.
I'm sorry it took me such a long time, but I wanted to be absolutely certain.
Of course. I knew I could rely on you.
Thank you.
And now about your fee. I'll have it ready for you at 6 this evening. Let me see. It was $3,000 in addition to your weekly retainer. That was the amount agreed upon, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
Very well. You can come forward at 6, then. And thank you again, Mr. Forbes. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Moran.
Oh, Forbes. I was just looking for you. It's cold walking in this white snow.
Sit down on this bench. Pretend to read that newspaper. I'll talk to you that way.
I got you.
Well, did you get the stuff from the kid?
No, Forbes, I didn't. He's not as dumb as you figured.
What do you mean? Why didn't you?
Well, I tailed him like you said. He went from the old lady's house straight to the hotel.
The hotel? I thought he was going to the basketball game.
Oh, that's where he was smart. He went to the hotel and pulled all that stuff she gave him right in the hotel safe. Then he went over to the college for the game.
I see. I didn't figure on that. Maybe it's just as well anyhow.
Yeah?
You'll have to leave the heirlooms there in the safe till he's ready to take the Boston train tonight. Might be easier to lift the stuff from on the way to the station.
Sure, eh? It might be at that.
And that gives us a little time to take care of another matter.
Huh? What do you mean, another matter?
The money. The old lady gave Wilson those heirlooms, but she still hasn't given him the money. That means it's still in her safe.
Or in the bank.
Now, Moran, the old girl don't trust banks. I happen to know she keeps the cash right in her house. She always paid me my retainer in cash, and she's going to give me my $3,000 bonus in cash tonight at 6.
Well, why didn't she pay you this afternoon?
Because she never opens the safe when anyone is in the house. She even told me that much herself. Tell you, Moran, that money is there in the house, just waiting.
Yeah, I get it. We go back there and get her to open the safe and take the cash, right?
Exactly. Oh. That'll give us just enough time to get back to the station, get those heirlooms away from the kid before he leaves Boston.
Oh, sounds good. Hey, what about that servant of the old lady?
I checked on that. It's a night off. The old girl will be all alone in the house.
Perfect. Forbes, it looks like we'll be on Easy Street the rest of our lives.
You're darn right. Now make yourself scarce until tonight. I'll meet you in front of Miss Julia's house. 6 sharp.
6 it is. And don't worry, I'll be there. I couldn't seem to concentrate. I can't get that business about Johnny off my mind.
You'd better. We'll lose this game.
Yes, I know. This Connecticut team is fast.
What is this about Johnny anyway, Frank? You don't think anything's wrong, do you?
I wish I knew, Bart. There's something very funny about the whole setup.
How do you mean?
Well, it all seems so pat. Johnny shows up here in stores and practically walks into the arms of a detective who is supposed to be searching the whole country for him.
Yes, that was a coincidence, all right.
Yeah, too much of a coincidence when you stop to think that Johnny wouldn't even have made this trip if it hadn't been for that unexplained accident to Dan Griswold.
Yeah, it's true. Whatever it was, you can stop worrying. Here he comes, Frank.
Oh, hello, Johnny.
I got back as quickly as I could, Frank. What's the score?
We're trailing 20-18, but we'll make it up next half. Now, what happened with you?
Yes, did you meet Miss Julia?
Oh, I sure did.
Frank, I think it's really true. She even said there was a strong family resemblance. I have the Harris eyes, she said.
Good, what else happened?
Well, she insisted on giving me a whole collection of family heirlooms, you know, jewelry and so on. I hated to take them that way. They look very valuable.
Heirlooms?
Have you got them with you?
No, I was afraid to risk carrying them around. I went back to the hotel and put them in the safe. That's why I was late.
Well, that was a smart thing to do, Johnny. They'll be a lot safer there. And what about the rest of the inheritance?
Well, it seems there's a large amount of cash coming to me, too, but I won't get that until after the holidays. Anyhow, the whole thing seems almost too good to be true.
Well, Frank, it looks like your hunch was wrong.
What hunch was that?
Nothing, Johnny. Forget it.
Yes, Frank. We better all forget about it until this basketball game's over. Johnny's safe, but we won't be if we blow this last game.
Isn't it fun driving in a sleigh again?
Almost as much fun as a basketball game, Vincent.
Well, that was an interesting game, especially the second half. I never saw you play better, Frank.
Well, that's just because I looked so bad in the first half.
Why, Frank? What was wrong in the first half?
He was worried about you, Johnny.
About me? But why?
I don't know. I kept thinking there was something wrong with that setup. I kept wondering if somebody weren't trying to work some kind of shell game on you.
Shell game? Well, if they were, it's a funny kind of game. I'm the only one who gained by it.
Tell me, Johnny, what was Miss Julia like?
Oh, a very sweet and kind old lady, Inza. I liked her immediately. And as soon as she saw me, she was convinced I was her long-lost nephew.
What happened?
Well, I told her I had to leave right after the game for Denver in order to get home for the Christmas holidays. She understood, and she made me promise to come back and see her as soon as I returned to school.
Is that when she gave you those heirlooms?
Yeah, that's right. She insisted I take them with me so that my father could see them.
Well, how about it, Johnny? Do you really think you're her nephew?
Yes, Frank, I must be.
Well, it still seems rather peculiar.
What, Frank? What's wrong now?
Well, for one thing, why should she accept Johnny without any more definite proof?
Oh, she hasn't exactly, Frank. You see, I have to bring my birth certificate back from Denver with me. She said that was just to satisfy her lawyers. Once they check that, I'll actually receive the fortune.
Oh? But still, she gave you those heirlooms, and from what you told me, they must be of considerable value.
Oh, they are. There must be several $1,000 worth of old fine jewelry there.
I'd love to see the things.
Oh, you will, Inza. I have to get them from the hotel vault before we go to the train.
Oh, I'd sort of like to see them myself.
Well, then, when we get to the hotel, why don't you all wait for me in the writing room? I'll get the things and let you see them before I pack them for the trip. How's that?
Wonderful. I can hardly wait.
Hey, you won't have to wait long, Inza. Here's the hotel now.
Well, there they are, the Harris Crown Jewels.
They're lovely. Just look at that, Frank.
Well, it's quite a collection, all right. This strand of pearls alone is worth several $1,000s.
And look at this diamond pin. These are some heirlooms, all right.
Oh, but I like this little gold locket best. Isn't it quaint?
Yeah, I like that too, Inza. I wonder if it opens.
I think it does. See the little hinge on the bottom?
Now, let me try it. Oh, there.
Look, there's an inscription inside.
What does it say?
Let me see. To Louisa on her 21st birthday. From Father.
That's your mother's, Johnny.
Wait a minute. That's funny.
What's wrong?
That says Louisa. My mother's name was Louise. And that 21st birthday business. That can't be right either.
Why not?
Well, Mother went west with Dad when she was only 19. I remember his telling me that. And after that, she never saw her father again. This couldn't have belonged to my mother.
That's strange.
Gosh, Frank, maybe your hunch was right after all.
That's just what I was thinking. I thought all along that there was something wrong with that story Mr. Forbes told.
I'm beginning to agree with you, Frank. It looks like I'm not Miss Julia's nephew at all.
But this doesn't make sense. Why should anyone want to give Johnny a fortune that doesn't belong to him?
I wonder if... Johnny, what is this Miss Julia like? Did she strike you as being, well, mentally responsible?
Oh, yes, Bart. She's perfectly normal in every way. As I said before, she's a very nice person.
In that case, why would she be mixed up in a crooked deal?
Gee, I wish I knew. It's all too much for me. What do you think, Frank?
Well, I don't like any part of it. From that unexplained attack on Dan to your accidental meeting with Forbes. It all looks like a put-up job to me.
Maybe we should go to the police.
No, I'm afraid they'd only laugh at a story like that. I think the only thing for us to do is return those heirlooms to their rightful owner.
Yes, of course. We'll take them right back to Miss Julia and explain that it was all a mistake.
Good idea. And we've just got time to do it, too. I'm anxious to catch that 7 o'clock train and get out of town before anything else happens.
That's the first portion of Frank Merriwell. More after these words.
More Hollywood 360 after these important messages. And now back to Hollywood 360 with Carl Amari.
Now back to the adventures of Frank Merriwell.
Look how dark it is. What time is it, Frank?
Just about 6.
Oh, gosh. We'll have to work fast to catch that Boston train.
Gee, I'm sorry. I didn't want to make you miss it on my account.
Don't worry about that, Johnny. We can always catch the 8:30. I'm anxious to help you straighten this out.
Where is this place anyhow, Frank?
Right up ahead here. This is the driveway. Turn in here, Frank.
All right.
There now. You can see the house.
I see there's a light in the back room, but all the shades are drawn. That's funny.
Hey, the lights just went out.
I suppose Miss Julia heard us coming up the driveway. Stop here, Frank.
Oh. Are you coming in, Inza?
We'll only be a minute.
I might as well. I'd love to see the inside of the house.
Oh, it's a lovely place inside. I'm just sorry you won't have more time to see it.
Someone's coming.
Why, Mr. Forbes.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Wilson.
Why, what's the trouble? I thought you were on your way to Boston.
I had to come back. We'd like to see Miss Julia.
Oh, I'm sorry. She's retired. I imagine the excitement of finding her nephew was a little too much for her.
But that's just it. I'm not her nephew. That's why I want to see her.
What do you mean? There must be some mistake.
There is, Mr. Forbes. What Johnny says is true. But we didn't expect to find you here.
Well, I was staying until a maid returned. Miss Julia's nervous when she's alone.
Oh, I see. We're not disturbing you, are we?
Oh, no. I was just reading in the library when you drove up. Don't stand out there in the cold. Come in, all of you.
Well, thank you, sir, but I'm afraid we haven't time. Give Mr. Forbes the things, Johnny, and we'll go.
But, Frank, are you sure
we... Of course. Come on, perhaps we can still catch our train.
Very well. Mr. Forbes, since I am definitely not Miss Julia's nephew, I've brought these things back to her. I wish you'd return them.
Why, yes, of course. I'll see that she gets them.
Well, thank you. That's all we wanted, sir. Good night.
Good night, gentlemen. Oh, on behalf of Miss Julia, let me thank you for your honesty, young man. I'm sure she'll want to reward you somehow.
Oh, that's all right, sir. There was nothing else to do. Good night.
Good night. Thanks again.
Frank, what on earth was the idea of that?
Yes, you were just saying that you didn't trust Mr. Forbes, and then you made Johnny give him all those valuable jewels.
Yeah, I think they're right, Frank. We should have insisted on returning him to Miss Julia in person.
Well, let's get in the sleigh. We can talk as we drive off.
All right. Get up.
We'd insisted on giving those heirlooms to Miss Julia in person. We'd all be prisoners in that house right now.
What?
Yes, Frank, what do you mean?
I mean there's a lot going on here that can stand investigation. We've got to take them off guard. Now listen carefully. We'll go down around a bend, and then we three will drop off while Inza drives away in the sleigh. Is that clear?
Yes, but
we'll talk about it after we stop. Now we've got to hurry. Get up, boy. Careful. Don't make any noise. Step in the bare spots where there's no snow.
That's the library window right over there.
I see the lights on in there again.
Yes, that's one of the things that bothered me. Forbes said he was reading when we drove up. That was the truth. Then why did he turn the light out when he heard the sleigh?
Yes, and why has he got those shades drawn?
That's something we're going to find out right now. Come on, let's get a little closer.
Come on, we haven't got all night.
Listen.
I tell you, I refuse to open that safe.
That's Miss Julia.
Come on, Ford, we're wasting time.
Do anything you like to me, but I will not open it.
Oh, then you force us to use persuade. I want that safe open.
Wait, that's it, of course.
What is it, Frank?
I just remembered something. If I'd only thought of it before.
Come around, put the gag in her mouth again.
All right.
We've got to coax her a little more.
Did you hear that? Why those
three? We've got to get in that house fast. Come on, maybe the back way.
Here's the door, Frank. Let's try it.
Oh, it's not locked. Come on, wait, Bart. We've got to take them by surprise. They might harm her if we don't.
This looks like the kitchen. Yeah, I can make out the sink over there. Oh, wait.
I have it. There's a dishpan here. We can use this. Now, this corridor must lead to the library, doesn't it, Johnny?
I think so. Yeah, you can see the light under the door up ahead. But what do you want with this dishpan?
I'll show you. We'll stand here on this side of the door. Now, I'll throw the dishpan down this hall. That should bring them out on the right.
Sure. And they'll turn down that way in the direction of the noise.
Right, then we'll jump them. You ready?
All set, Frank.
Good. Here goes.
Hey, what's that? Who's that? Down that way, Ford.
Who's that?
No.
Oh, dear. Look, I'll get that gun away from him.
I'll take care of that.
I'll get this one, Frank.
Ah, nice work, Bart. That takes care of them. Johnny, take this gun and keep those two covered while I release Miss Julia.
Right.
Bart, you go for the police. I think they'll be very glad to see our detective friend, Mr. Forbes.
Frank, I'm glad you caught those crooks, even though we did have to take a later train.
So am I, Frank. But what about this confession you said Forbes made?
Yes, what was the whole story?
Well, it was just about what I suspected. Forbes actually was a private investigator hired to find Miss Julia's nephew. Now, the only trouble was he soon learned that he would never be successful.
What do you mean, Frank?
I mean that he discovered that the John Henry Wilson he was after had died in a hunting accident as a boy. Well, that was a shock to Forbes because it meant losing the $3,000 bonus Miss Julia had promised him. That's when he began to scheme.
But how did I fit into the picture?
Perfectly, as it turned out. In the course of his investigations, he learned that the facts surrounding your boyhood coincided almost exactly with those of Miss Julia's nephew. Well, he planned to have you actually inherit the fortune. And then, once the money was in your hands, to find suddenly that you were not the right person.
You mean he was after not only the bonus, but the fortune as well?
That's right, Johnny. But he was afraid to approach you with a proposition while you were at Yale. He thought you would telegraph your father at once and learn the truth.
Well, that's true. I would have, only I couldn't do it today. There wasn't time.
Exactly. That's what he was counting on.
Wait a minute, though, Frank. How could he possibly know that Johnny'd be on this trip?
Because he deliberately arranged it that way. He knew Johnny was the assistant manager of the team, so he attacked Dan Griswold, our regular manager, and made sure he wouldn't be able to come along.
Frank, you mean Mr. Forbes was the one who broke poor Dan's arm?
Yes, Frank. How could you possibly know that?
Well, remember when we listened outside the library window tonight?
Oh, sure. You suddenly remembered something and said you should have thought of it before. What was it?
Forbes' voice. I recognized it as the voice of the man we heard quarreling with Dan that night back in New Haven.
Oh.
Well, for the first time, I heard him speak under almost exactly similar circumstances. I knew it was the same voice.
But wait, Frank, there's still something I don't understand. If that was Mr. Forbes' plan, why did he suddenly decide to rob Miss Julia last night?
Because he was forced to change.
change his plans when she told Johnny he wouldn't get the money until after the holidays. Well, Forbes knew that Johnny's father would spoil the whole story, and so he took a desperate chance and tried to get the rest of the money by force.
Well, I'm certainly glad he didn't succeed. Poor Miss Julia, she must have been terribly disappointed.
No, she took it quite well, Enza. But she was very firm about one thing.
What's that, Frank?
You, Johnny. She still maintains you have the Harris eyes.
And so ends another exciting adventure with Frank Merriwell, beloved hero of American fiction. Brought to you in a new series of stories by the National Broadcasting Company. Be sure to listen again next week at the same time when Frank Merriwell returns in another of his celebrated exploits. Frank is played by Lawson Zerbe. Bart is Hal Studer. And Inza is Elaine Ross. Other members of the cast were Cameron Andrews, Adelaide Klein, Charles Mullen, Tony Randall, and Maurice Cartland. Original music on today's show is by Paul Talbot. The Adventures of Frank Merriwell is written by Ruth and Gilbert Braun and William Welch. And the entire production was under the direction of Maury Robinson. John Simpson speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
And that's The Adventures of Frank Merriwell from December 13th, 1947, with the Harris Heirlooms, starring Lawson Zerbe, as heard on NBC. And you know who also was in this cast, Mike?
Whom?
Tony Randall is in this cast. You know, he did a little radio before he became Felix on The Odd Couple. He's best known for that, obviously, right. That role. But, yeah, he did some radio, and he happens to appear in this episode of Frank Merriwell. Very interesting. All right, before we get into Archie Andrews, I want to remind all of our listeners that we have a website at Hollywood360Radio.com. That website is there for you because it has a podcast. If you miss any of our weekly Hollywood 360 show, and we do broadcast 4 hours, we have a podcast of this show, all 4 hours, on Hollywood360Radio.com. Okay, it is time now for Archie Andrews. This was a teenage sitcom, and it was adapted from the very popular comic strip by Bob Montana. Came to NBC Radio in 1943 and lasted all the way to 1953. It was sponsored for a time by Swift Premium Sausage. Archibald Archie Andrews was the only child of Mary and Fred Andrews. He lived in Riverdale and attended Riverdale High. His two main crushes were Veronica Lodge and Betty Cooper. His best friend, Jughead Jones. Charles Mullen, Jack Grimes, Burt Boyar, and Bob Hastings all played Archie. We have an episode for you now going back to July 27, 1946. This is called A Present for Veronica. It stars Bob Hastings, part one of Archie Andrews.
Hello?
Hello, Jughead. This is Archie. Come over right away. It's a matter of life or death.
Oh, relax, Archie. Relax.
Yes, and you relax too, folks, if you can, because here he is again, right out of the pages of Archie Comics magazine with all his gang, Archie Andrews! Well, it's Friday evening as we look in on the Andrews home in Riverdale. We find Archie has just come home with Jughead and is a little unhappy about something.
I tell you, Jug, I gotta figure out a way to get that bottle of bubble bath soap. You don't look dirty to me. It's not for me, it's for Veronica. She's having a coming out party tonight, and I gotta buy her a present.
What's she coming out of?
Jug, I don't know how you can be that stupid and live.
It's easy.
Jug, Veronica is making her debut in Riverdale society tonight, and I want to buy that bubble bath soap we saw in the drugstore as a gift. Now, is that plain enough?
Go ahead and buy it. I'm not stopping you.
But I don't have the money, Jug. Reggie Mantle will probably bring some fancy gift. And how will I look?
How?
Embarrassed. I might just as well stay home.
Oh.
Archie. Hello, Jughead.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hi, Dad. Oh, Dad,
what
I was
day. What a day. Certainly good to be home.
Dad, would you be kind
Archie,
enough to let me...
do you know where my slippers are?
In the hall closet, I think. Dad, I was
wondering... It's going to be good to sit down, have a little peace and quiet.
Dad, I wonder if you'd
well,
let me...
Well, what is it?
Dad, could you let me have some money?
No. Now, where's your mother?
But, Dad, I just got to have $2.98.
Archie, I said no. Where is your mother?
But, Dad, I just got to have it because
Archie,
I want to...
Archie, for pity's sake, I said... All right, here is $3.
Gee whiz, Dad, thanks a lot.
Don't mention it. Keep the change.
Oh, boy, Jug, I got it. Well, let me at that phone. Operator, Riverdale 411, please. Yes. Oh, boy, Jug, won't Veronica be happy when she sees that bubble bath? She likes all that fancy stuff. Hello, Mr. Pringle? This is Archie Andrews. You know that bottle of liquid bubble bath soap you have on display? Yes, the pink stuff in the fancy bottles with the sign, float on air with the scintillating essence of rare eau d'oeuvres and be carried to dreamy wonderland in your bath, reduced to $2.98. Yes. Well, send a bottle of that right over, would you? Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Archie, wouldn't it have been cheaper to buy Veronica a piece of soap?
Don't be silly, Jug. She'll love this. I guess I'll show that Reggie Mantle that he's not the only one who can buy fancy gifts.
Yeah.
She was Jug. Do you think Reggie will buy her something fancier than that?
Probably.
Oh, fine.
Hello, Archie. Hello, Jughead.
Hello, Mrs. Andrews.
Hi, Mom.
Well, what are you doing, dear?
Nothing.
Archie, what are you so glum about?
Me? I'm not glum.
Archie, do you feel all right?
No, Mom, let's not go through that.
Archie, stick out your tongue.
But, Mom, I feel...
Archie, stick out your tongue.
No, I'm all right.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have to stick it that far out. Uh-huh. Archie, just as I thought, you're run down.
But, Mom, I feel fine.
All the same, you go right upstairs and bring down the tonic.
The tonic? Oh, gosh, Mom, not that.
That tonic is the best thing in the world for you.
Yes, I know, but...
But what?
It smells.
Archie.
Well, it does, Mom, just like rotten eggs.
Archie, Mr. Pringle made that tonic from a special prescription, and it always does a world of good for you.
But, Mom, I...
Jughead, doesn't your mother make you take tonic when you're run down?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, doesn't it do you a world of good?
No, ma'am.
It doesn't? Why not?
I give it to my little sister when Mom's not looking.
Jughead, you don't.
Don't I?
All right, Jughead, maybe you do. But, Archie, you still march right upstairs and bring that tonic down.
Oh, gee whiz, what chances a fella got? Jug, you wait there.
Okay.
And Jughead, would you take your feet off the couch, please?
I'm sorry.
Oh, now who can that be? Hello? Oh, Mrs. Lodge, how are you? Oh, fine, thanks. Have I forgotten what? The party? What part? Oh, the party. Why, no, Mrs. Lodge, of course I haven't forgotten the party. Why, I couldn't forget your party tonight. Of course not. Why, just today I remarked to Fred how he was looking forward to your party. Yes, we'll be there. Goodbye. Oh, dear, I'd forgotten all about that party.
Oh, Mom, I can't find that tonic anywhere.
But, Archie, I know there's practically a full bottle in the medicine cabinet. Did you look there?
Oh, yes, Mom.
Well, did you look in the storage closet?
Gee whiz, Mom, don't you think I know how to look for something?
Not for tonic, you don't. Are you sure it's upstairs?
Positive that it's not there, Mom, and besides, I feel much better now. Mom, let's forget the whole thing.
Oh, no, you don't. I'll order some more right now. Operator, give me Riverdale 411, please.
But, Mom, why go to all that trouble just for a
Archie,
little tonic?
Archie, you need that tonic.
Yeah, like a headache.
Hello? Mr. Pringle, this is Mrs. Andrews. Uh-huh. You know that tonic you made up last spring for Archie? Uh-huh. Well, would you make up another bottle and send it over right away? All right, Mr. Pringle. Thanks a lot. Bye. Now, Archie, I'll... Oh, dear, now what?
Pringle's drugstore.
Already?
Got a package here for Betty Cooper.
Oh, well, they live next door.
I know, but they're not home, and they left a note saying all packages should be left here.
Oh, all right. Just put it right there on the hall table where I won't forget it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Now, Archie, you better start dressing, dear.
Dressing?
Yes, dear, for the party.
But can't I go the way I am?
Archie, you can't go to a party in a polo shirt and saddle shoes.
You left out my pants, Mom. I'm wearing pants, you know.
Yes, I know, dear. But you better go put on your tropical worsted.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait there, Jug. I'll be right down.
And wash first.
Okay, I will.
All right, all right, all right. Now, what's all the shouting about? Can't we ever have any quiet around here?
Oh, Fred, when did you get home, dear?
Oh, about 5 minutes ago, Mary, and I'm certainly
as tired as
I... Well,
for pity's sake, go and get dressed.
Dressed? Dressed? What for?
The Lodges are having their party tonight.
Oh, good grief. I'm in no mood for parties tonight, Mary. I want to just sit here and read my paper.
Fred, Mrs. Lodge called specially to remind us about it.
But I... Oh, all right. I suppose we have to go.
We certainly do. Jughead, be careful of that lamp. I'll be upstairs if you want me, Fred.
All right, Mary. You'll be upstairs. Parties. Parties. Why don't people leave people alone? Nobody enjoys giving a party. Nobody enjoys going to a party. I don't know why. Well, what are you grinning at?
I'm not invited to the party.
Well, you're lucky. See, do I need a shave? I suppose so.
No.
I'm all out of hairdressing. You better order some. Operator, 411, please. No, hello, Pringle. Fred Andrews. Huh? Tired. How are you? Good. Listen, Pringle, send me a bottle of that hairdressing, will you? And don't send me that greasy stuff you sent last time. All right, right away. Bye.
Fred, aren't you dressed yet?
Dressed? Why, Mary, it's only 5 seconds.
Well, stop wasting time and get started.
All right, Mary. I don't know what this world is coming to when a man can't even go home.
Oh, that must be the tonic for Archie.
Package from Pringle's drugstore.
Yes, I've been waiting for it. Tell Mr. Pringle to put it on the bill, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Jughead, I wish you wouldn't sit on the arm of that chair.
I'm sorry.
Archie!
Yes, Mom?
Come on down here.
Gee whiz, Mom, how can I get dressed if you keep calling me?
Archie, your tonic just arrived. I want you to take it, dear.
The tonic? Now?
Yes, now. Jughead, would you get a spoon out of the kitchen, please?
Yes, Mrs. Ann.
But, Mom, this is no time to take tonic.
And why not?
Well, because... Well, that is... Well, there's a time and place for everything, and, well, this just isn't the time and place.
It certainly is.
But, Mom, you have no idea how much better I feel.
I thought you didn't feel sick in the first place.
I didn't, but I'm much better now.
Here's a spoon, Mrs. Andrews.
Benedict Arnold.
Me? What did I do?
Traitor.
Now, Archie, that's quite enough. Now, just this one spoonful won't kill you.
You never can tell. Those are awful big spoons.
Archie, for pity's sake, I don't have time to argue now. Please take this tonic.
Gee whiz, okay. Gee whiz. Gee whiz, Ma. Do I... Gee whiz. But I... Gee whiz. If I only... Gee whiz.
Yes, Archie, gee whiz. Now take it.
In cold blood? Just take it? Just like that?
Well, close your eyes if it'll help.
It'll help more if you close your mouth, too.
Jughead.
I'm sorry.
Gee whiz.
Archie, don't say that again.
Well, gee... Gosh.
Archie, I'm getting impatient.
Well, I'm gonna... Let me take it myself.
Very well. Here.
Okay, Mom. I might as well get it over and done with. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Wow. Ooh. Oh. Phew. Gee, that wasn't as bad as I thought.
Well, I told you so.
Mary, do you like this bow tie with this suit?
Oh, yes, dear. Now come upstairs, Archie, and put a clean shirt on.
Yes, dear. Fine thing when a man can't even ask his own wife if she likes his tie without her giving him an... Well, what are you grinning at?
I was just thinking of my father's ties.
What about your father's ties? Does he tie them differently than I do?
Yes. He just snaps his on.
Oh, that's fine, fine. Now, what in the world is keeping that delivery boy? Why, that druggist is the slowest... Oh, what's this on the hall table? Label says Pringle's Drugstore. When did that get here?
Oh, that was...
Well,
that...
why doesn't anybody tell me these things? Here I've been waiting and waiting for my hairdressing, and it's been here all the while.
But, Mr. Andrews... Gee whiz.
Say, Jughead, do you like this tie with this suit?
No.
Me too. But I can't decide whether I don't like the suit with the tie or the tie with the suit. Now, who can that be at a time like this?
Pringle drugstore.
Oh, boy, my bubble bath.
Why?
No, not for me. For a friend of mine. I'll take it. Here you are.
Thank you.
And that's the first portion of Archie Andrews from 1946. More of Hollywood 360 after these words.
More Hollywood 360. Now back to the best in classic radio on Hollywood 360.
Next time, it's the conclusion to Archie Andrews from 1946. Then, a good true crime case on crime classics from 1954. That's next time here on Hollywood 360. We'll see you then.